A very good morning to you, family of GMDS. It is my joy this morning to greet you, to bring the Word of God to you, and also to present myself before you and before the Lord. It is becoming more and more apparent that the message and the messenger must be one. God will not only gauge the word that comes out from the mouth of his servant, but is also looking at the person, the messenger, and the content and the container must be just as credible. The offering and the one who offers the offering must have the same qualities. Just recently, you have brought your Thanksgiving offering, and now you're bringing your first fruit offering so that your year goes well. And in submitting and rendering all these offerings to the Lord, God looks at the offering, and he also looks at the one that brings the offering. It's for that reason that we pray together and we ask the Lord to receive your offering, to receive your first fruit, and it's heaved up before the Lord so that it's accepted, both the offering and the offerer. This morning, yes, it is also your responsibility, and the Lord is also assessing how you arrange yourself, how you posture yourself. What is your disposition? How fresh is your mind in receiving the word? And then from your mind into your heart, what occupies your heart this morning? The Lord looks at all of those things as there is a serious interaction in the spiritual transaction that we engage ourselves in for an hour on a Sunday morning. God wants to download something, and he expects you to receive, to appreciate, to honor, to respect that the word that comes through the lips of a man, but God speaks as the original person. And I encourage you today, find at least one point that will change you, adjust you, and bring you through. Our Heavenly Father, as the Word of God would be delivered today to all the saints, I'm asking, Lord, that you'd give us all receptive hearts, attentive ears. We'll hear, we'll understand, and apply. We'll hear, we'll understand, and apply. We'll hear, we'll understand, and apply divine principles that will help us to live better. Yesterday, we may have had certain dents, certain cracks, certain shortcomings in our lives. But today, we are going to cover that up. In building, Lord, we know they would use rhenolite and other mixtures to cover cracks so that they could paint over that. Today, Father, every crack must be covered through the finished work on Calvary. Today, Lord, everything has to be processed through the cross of Calvary. Even our ability to hear your word, to understand your word, and to apply your word. I'm asking this morning, accept us also, Father. Forgive us of all our wrongs. Help us to be better people. In Jesus' name, with much thanksgiving. Amen. Last week we covered very beautifully some of the benefits in the Word of God. And in Psalm, I think it's 116, the psalmist is speaking to God and he's saying, for all the benefits you gave me, what can I do in return? What can I give you in return? And you could ask that question. Lord, there's so many benefits in the principles you've already arranged for us many thousand years ago. And those principles are still fresh. They're still applicable. They still have its value. It hasn't been devalued. It hasn't lost its strength and heat. Everything in the Word of God is alive. And I thank the Lord for the Word of God. Our faith is reinforced through the Word of God. In fact, the Word is the origin of your faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. And faith comes by hearing the Word of God. So the Word of God is the origin of faith. And faith can do tremendous miracles, and stuff that is not natural can happen through faith. And we need faith. And the Word is the origin. The Word is the starting point of our salvation. We are saved through faith in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. The Word of God is a source of truth. Teach them your word, Lord, and make them clean and holy through your word, Lord. That's what Jesus spoke in John chapter 8. In fact, the word is the origin of freedom. Your freedom is acquired through the word of God. You are released and absolved of error because of the word of God. The word of God is our spiritual food. And let me tell you something. You know, while we are fasting from abstinence of food, we find it very difficult, the natural body. Imagine the spiritual body, your spiritual life, staying without food, which is the word of God, for months on end. And while you're going to perish, you're going to become empty and dry, barren, miserable. So you need the word of God that feeds you. It's your spiritual meal, your spiritual food. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but on every word that comes out of the mouth of God. It's a source of your growth. And many of, I was just speaking to someone yesterday who came to see me, and they said it is only the word of God that has brought them where they are today, in their family life, in their success, in their acquisitions, in their progress in life. It's only them listening, abiding by the word of God, that they have grown so much. The word of God is the agent of victory over temptation. The psalmist said, I hide my word in your word in my heart, that I may not sin against you. The word brings happiness and blessedness to us. Man, the word also is a source of purity and holiness. The word is an agent that helps us to do a spiritual checkup on our lives, a diagnosis of our lives. It is also the agent who guides us, provides us comfort. The word of God leads to our prayers being answered. God will not answer our prayers outside the word of God. In John 15:7, I love this verse of scripture. If you remain in me and my words remain in you. It's not ciphered out. It's not squashed. It's not ignored. It's not spewed out. It remains in you, the words of Jesus. You can then ask whatever, not what you need, what you want, but what you wish. And it will be done for you. Hallelujah. Aren't we privileged, sons of God? Aren't we privileged that we can have whatever we want when the word is priority in our lives? It's also the source of our spiritual victory. And we're going to cover that today. We need that assurance that we are victory. It's also the source of our healing. Our bones are strengthened. Our lives become whole again through the word of God. It gives us an assurance, hope, that everything's going to be okay. When we read the word, when we study, don't know about you, but we feel on top of the world. We feel that we can overcome. And, you know, there are beautiful scriptures in the Bible that encourages us to get and get stuck into the word. Hallelujah. And we just feel so good. It's the source of our joy. The word is like treasure in us, and it brings delight to our hearts. Psalm 119, verse 111. And it prepares us for good works. And also, it's a means that warns us of impending danger or imminent rise of certain spirits. The word of God will assure us, fill us, and also warn us. And 1 Corinthians 10:11 is a verse of scripture that is used that tells us that we must follow examples and templates and patterns in the word of God, even in the Old Testament, that will give us clarity on what God is speaking to us post the resurrection. Amen. So this morning, I want to just go to Judges chapter 7 and just look at some spiritual principles on the character Gideon and how God secured the victory for the children of Israel. In Judges chapter 6, we read about the Midianites and how they troubled and impoverished the children of Israel and left them ravaged by all the different things that they did to them, tormenting them, torturing them, taking all the food that they planted. So the Midianites were really oppressing God's people, Israel. And the children of Israel then began to cry out to God. You know, sometimes that cry is very important. That cry is very important to get the attention of God. And we cry, and we need to learn how to speak back the word of God to God, crying out and imploring him with the word of God. And then we get his attention and he responds. Hallelujah. And here we find that the cry went out and the children of Israel now cry out, and God begins to listen to them. And he chooses a young man called Gideon, one of the most unassuming characters in the whole of Israel. And he chooses him to lead the whole nation in victory. Come on. So we are also recruited in that criteria that God has to use someone. None of you that are listening to me today can be ignored or can come to the sudden conclusion that I'm no good. That's not me. God cannot use me. God cannot overnight place a desire inside of me. You know, all of those things that discourage you, it comes from carnality. It comes from the flesh. And we pray today that even as we listen to the word of God today, we'll be able to know that God has a special place for you in his heart. Please, I want you to be assured that God loves those that love the word of God. So Judges chapter 7, let's read a few scriptures. You can read the whole story of how Gideon was not sure about whether he's a real man. So he said to God, he put God to a test. He had a test conjured up and he put God to a test. If you read that in 6 verse 36, Judges chapter 6. So Gideon said to God, Gideon initiates the conversation with God, "If you will save Israel by my hand, as you have said, look, I shall put a fleece of wool on the threshing floor. If there is dew on the fleece only, and it is dry on all the ground, then I shall know that you will save Israel by my hand, as you have said." Now, that's also a water test. He said, if the fleece gets wet, and the ground is dry, that has to do a water test, that the water will fill into the fleece, then I'll know that you'll speak into me. And it was so. When he rose early the next morning and squeezed the fleece together, it wrung the dew out of the fleece, a bowl full of water, and water has to do with the word of God. Then Gideon said to God, "Do not be angry with me, but let me speak, let me put you to a second test. Let me test, I pray, just once more with the fleece. Let it now be dry only on the fleece, but on all the ground let there be dew." What a sense of humor he had, and God could receive him, because God went beyond all his talking. God knew, this is the man that I'm going to choose. This is the man I'm going to use. This is a man that's going to bring the victory. So irrespective of what he's going to say, it's not going to alter my decision to use him. So let him go ahead. So there's a sense of humor between God and Gideon. And God did so that night. It was dry on the fleece only, but there was dew on all the ground. I like to just continue reading some of these verses. So it's just a beautiful story. Then Gideon and all the people who were with him rose early and camped beside the well of Harod, so that the camp of the Midianites was on the north side of them by the hill of Moreh in the valley. And the Lord said to Gideon, "The people who are with you are too many for me to give the Midianites into your hands, lest Israel claim glory for itself against me, saying, my own hand has saved me." Come on. So God is going to make sure that no flesh is going to glory in this victory. No one man. So he chooses the weakest man to use, so they know it's not he's not a soldier. He was a fearful guy. He was hiding in the wine press. He was threshing wheat in the wine press. Imagine the threshing. He's supposed to thresh wheat on outside, on the mountaintop, but he's hiding, he's scared, he's fearful. So he goes into the winery and there he threshes wheat, and God appears to him. "Now therefore proclaim in the hearing of the people, saying, whoever is fearful and afraid, let him turn and depart at once from Mount Gilead. And 22,000 of the soldiers returned home, and 10,000 remained." So there were 32,000 soldiers that recruited, and 22,000 God sent away and said, "No, I want us to test from 10,000. So Gideon uses 10,000 and he's going to put the test of the Lord through them. But the Lord said to Gideon, "The people are still too many. Bring them down to the water. Let the word decipher who is going to be standing as a remnant, let the water test determine who is going to be part of this victory, who's going to fight. And I will test them for you there." So God is going to test all of these 10,000 using the water test, using the word of God. Let me tell you something. It is only the word of God as the test that God is going to use to separate the goats from the sheep. It is only the water test. If you abide in me and you allow my words to abide in you, you can ask whatever you want. So God is going to kind of be so generous and lavish all the resources of heaven. It's like he's going to rip open the curtain of heaven, and all the resources are going to become available only to those that love the word of God. So that is going to be the word test, to see who is going to become recipients in shortly to the resources of heaven. I say shortly because big shifts are going to take place, and God wants us to live off him. I did a teaching with the young adults on Friday night on how to rely on God as he becomes the primary source and resource to all young people and those that love the word of God. So I was encouraging them to love the word, to make the word priority, because they will have unfair advantages over others just by loving the word of God. So he brought, verse 5, he brought the people down to the water, and the Lord The Lord said to Gideon, everyone who laps from the water with his tongue, as a dog laps, you shall set apart for by himself. Likewise, everyone who gets down on his knees to drink, and the number of those who lapped, putting the hand to their mouth, was 300 men, but all the rest of the people got down on the knees to drink water. I was listening to a teaching on Friday night after having the Zoom meeting with the young people. And it was about how to be filled with the power of the Holy Ghost. You had to first go to the cross, carry your cross. Jesus said, if you're not carrying your cross, it means you're still alive. So in order to carry your cross, it now confirms that you are dead, that you are dying. So even in this instance, those that got down on their knees to drink water, remember, it's a water test, it's a word test. These ones, when they looked into the water, they saw the reflection of themselves, and thus they were consumed with themselves and they become disqualified. Everyone that does not carry the cross will become preoccupied or full of themselves. So even in the word, they will have a romantic link with the word, but they will not be transformed by the word. Those that lap the water are those that will love the word, lap the word, drink the word, meditate on the word, fill themselves with the word, nothing but the word, and they were recruited as the remnant that will secure the battle for the nation. Isn't that wonderful? Then the Lord said to Gideon, by the 300 men who leapt, I will save you and deliver the Midianites into your hand. Let all the other people go, every man to his place. Okay? And then you'll realize the battle takes place, and I will talk about the light and the hearing, the light and sound. God uses the technology of light and sound to baffle and confuse the enemy and win the battle. Not one piece of equipment that they would normally use in a battle was used. They did not use spears. They did not use slings. They did not use swords. They did not use any of them. All they used was the light and the sound technology to win this battle. And you know, light has to do with the word of God. Water has to do with the word of God. The hearing, the sound has to be how you hear the word of God. All of these things are very powerful. And verse 20 tells us, then the three companies, which is 100, 100, 100, the three companies is the 300 recruits, blew the trumpets, broke the pitchers, they held the torches in their left hands and the trumpets in their right hands for blowing, and they cried, the sword of the Lord of Gideon. The sword of the Lord is the word of God. So they cried, the sword of the Lord, the sword of the Lord, the sword of the Lord in the hand of Gideon, the sword of the Lord, which is the word of God. That's all they cried. That's all they cried. And remember, torches has to do with light. Trumpets have to do with the hearing technology. And this is very important as you win your battle. So hearing the word of God, becoming the light of the word, becoming the word of God, and living epistle is absolutely important. So let's quickly draw some conclusions from this before we go on. The water test, remember, the water represents the word of God. Lapping of the word like a dog. In other words, you lap the word of God. Thirdly, God is attracted to those passionate for the word of God. Passion and hunger is the currency that he wants to transact with. I repeat, passion and hunger is a currency of heaven. I draw your attention to Judges 7:3. Proclaim in the hearing of the people. Hearing. So the hearing, your hearing has to be precise. The people of God have to hear the word of God. That's why when God raises up the messenger or the doulos or the kurukhs to bring the word, it is your priority and responsibility to engage the technology of hearing And so your hearing will be judged. How you hear the word of God, how attentive you are to the word of God is what God is going to assess. Verse 20 tells us of the cohesion between sound and light. Light also represents the word of God. God used sound and light to create the heavens and the earth. You all know that. This is the technology we can use to secure our victory. The trumpet has to do with sound. The torch that was placed in the pitcher has to do with light. So the verse ends with the sword of the Lord, and for Gideon, the sword is the word of God. So let God's words outweigh your words, your opinions, and your thoughts. Would you do that from today? Say, Lord, your word is more reliable. We've just seen that how the word of the Lord spoken to the most unassuming man, young man, in the whole of the nation, God uses him, and his word outweighs the plan that the best army in Israel would have used. So God overrides and God takes over. So say this after me. God's words outweigh my words, my opinions, and my thoughts. So the next time you want to let your thoughts, your opinions, and your words take priority, quickly zip it and say, God's words will outweigh my words. We see in Judges 7, God delivered the Israelites from captivity and an army of only 300 men. Verse number 8, how many men? 300 men. Come on. From 32,000, it's whittled down to 300. But when the angel first came to call Gideon to this great task, Gideon began rehearsing a list of inabilities, including reasons he thought he could not do what God was calling him to do. Now I'm going to tell you something here. You may be hidden. You may be feeling insufficient. You may be feeling incapable. You may be feeling right now your flesh may be dictating to you and saying, I amount to nothing. But let me tell you, the God that comes to live inside of you makes you the giant in that environment. How? He comes and lives inside of you through his word. So when you have a passion for the word, you know what you're actually doing? You're building yourself up. You're building yourself up. You're building your rapport. You're building your support. You're building your ability to order your environment. You're no more going to feel insufficient, inadequate. Man, like how Moses was at the beginning. He said, I cannot speak. I'm inadequate. Why did you call me God? Place this mantle upon my brother Aaron. No, but God said, I want you. God changed him, took him to the backside of the desert, transformed him, made him lead one of the biggest group of people, almost 2 million people from Egypt into the promised land. So God can use whoever he wants. It's not you. It's not me. It's a God who comes to stand inside. And what attracts the presence of God inside of you? It's the word of God. We see this in this story. He had so many reasons why he was not the candidate. So in Judges 6:40, God says, have I not sent you? In other words, would I ask you to do something I haven't equipped you to do? And again, in the next verse, Gideon responds with excuses. I'm too poor. I'm too small. I'm too weak. How many of you have those type of things? And you know, in so doing, we insult the word of God. We insult faith. We insult the Holy Spirit. We insult the presence of the Lord. He believed more in what he said about himself than believing the encouraging words of our Lord. So to renew your mind according to God's word, you must have his word stacked up in your life so that you will be able to let his words, which is life-giving, to outweigh the negative words you are tempted to speak about yourself. Wow. So from today onwards, you're not going to underestimate yourself. You're going to love the word and don't feel sorry for yourself. Don't find excuses why you should remain where you are. No, 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 no. Today you're going to shake this thing off. It's going to be 1st of February, the second month. And February is a very important month in the calendar for many reasons. Besides that, it's Valentine's Day. And it's also my birthday on that month. But besides that, it's a good month to start saying to yourself, I am going to change the way I see myself. Because it's not me, it's God that I'm going to invite through His Word to stack up in my life. And you see, boy, what's going to happen. It's going to see what's going to happen. It's like those that engage dieting. There's two pictures, the before and the after. The before now, you look miserable, you feel downtrodden, you feel, but hold on, go on to the program, life program of changing your inner man through the Word of God. The agent is the Word of God. And you'll see how you're going to be built up, how you're going to be positive, how you're going to spring up in the morning, how you're going to let yourself just go on from one level of glory to another level of glory. Okay? So, yes, it's a word that brings victory. It's a word that emancipates us in every area of living. It removes strain, restraint. It removes control of situations over your life, people over your life, people that come in to abuse you and to control you. Well, the word sets you free. And we spoke about that last week. It restores the dominion mandate of Genesis 1 verse 28, where you rule over situations. From today onwards, by virtue of the fact that you choose to love the word, to know the word, to apply the word, to eat the word, to meditate on the word, not the word and nothing else by the word. I like what Benny Inn said recently. He said, I heard him say that 4 years ago, he changed his whole modus operandi. His ministries changed, the way he saw ministry. He asked the people to forgive him for asking for money. You know these TV evangelists and TV preachers will say, some of them say, well, if you give me $25, I will give you a $25 prophecy. I've heard that. And it's open. It's on a public platform. So he said he was guilty of that, asking for people for money and the way he would get money. And maybe his reasons were legitimate. I'm not going to labor that. But he said 4 years ago, he's changed his own way. He's come to the end of himself. He's been crucified with Christ. And now nothing major means anything to him. He's just being who he is in Christ, and he's giving all glory to Christ. And so we have to come to that place of, just getting back to where God wants you to be, because it's no more about you. Post-COVID, it's about God in each one of us. And I want you to catch something here, beloved. Every one of you that's listening to me today, don't see only me as Pastor Ivan, as the priesthood of all believers. Every one of you is a priest unto God. So when we talk about the priesthood of all believers have to come in now and study the word, meditate on the word, and have a relationship with God through His word. Okay, John 8:32 tells us, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. What is truth? The word is truth. John 17:17 tells us so. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. So the word cleanses us. The word sanctifies us. The word sanitizes us. Yes. And so the word keeps our inner life pure. So more of the word. That's what I want to engage in. More of the word. Okay. Next, the word is the armor against the enemy. When we read Ephesians 6 verse 11 to 17, the whole armor has to do with the word of God, or some aspect of the word of God, or a part of our lives that receives the word of God, and then the word works through that part of our lives in Jesus' name. So in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 to 17, you can read that as part of your devotion later on. But verse 10 to 17 talks about the armor of God, the waist with truth. Which is, what is truth? We just spoke about it just now. The truth is the word of God. So your waist is covered with the word of God. Then it's a breastplate of righteousness. Righteousness is the word of God. Jesus, our righteousness, came full of grace and full of truth. Yes, and what is truth? The word of God, John 17:17. So when we talk about righteousness, we talk about applying the word as the standard of God in our lives. There's no other standard. It's the plumb line. The word of God is the plumb line. Feet with the gospel of peace. Oh my God. So what's the gospel? It's the good news. And what's the good news? The word of God. And so our feet must be filled with the gospel of peace, the word of God, the good news. You can read about that in Romans chapter 1, verse 16. The shield of faith. Well, the shield of faith has to do with the word of God. Because of Romans 10:17 tells us, faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. So you need the word of God to activate your faith. The shield of faith works only with the word of God. Helmet of salvation. The word fills our mind. The word fills our mind. We can either allow the world to fill our mind with all this filth and garbage from the world, or we are saved. And when we are saved, this helmet is the word of God that fills our mind, confirms and assures us that we are saved. And what about the sword of the Spirit? We spoke about that in Gideon, in Gideon's case, in Judges chapter 7. The sword of the Spirit is the word of God. So this armor that Paul speaks about in Ephesians chapter 6 is supernatural. It's not made by human hands. It is a spiritual armor that God supplies to his people. Firstly, we are given the belt of truth, the word of God. We are told to tighten our belt in battle. In other words, when the enemy comes against us, we are to cling more tightly than ever before to the word of God. Second, we have the breastplate of righteousness, as our hearts are covered with the knowledge that we have been given right standing with God. This right standing is acquired as we are washed in the word. Washed in the word. That's why Jesus said in John 15:3, we are washed, we are separated, we are sanctified through the spoken word. As we do this, we are being built up in our confidence, and thus Satan cannot condemn us and make us feel worthless and insecure. The breastplate protects our heart, beloved. The heart is a final storage place for the word of God. There is an important link between the word and your heart. Let's go quickly and look at Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4, verse 1 to 8. Again, Jesus began to teach beside the Sea of Galilee, and a very large crowd gathered around him. So he got into a boat, anchoring it a short distance out on the sea, and sat down. And the whole crowd was by the sea on the shore. And he taught them many things in parables. And you know, a parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. And in his teaching, he said to them, listen, listen. I like that word, listen. In other words, suspend every other thing. Now, as you listen to the word, suspend every other thing. Respect the word, honor the word. Give the highest attention to the word, accolades to the word of God. A sower went out to sow seed. And as he was sowing, some seed fell by the road, and the birds came and ate it up. Other seed fell on rocks where there was not much soil. And immediately a plant sprang up, because the soil had no depth, and when the sun came up, the plant was scorched, and because it had no root, it dried up and withered away. Other seed fell among thorns, and the thorns came up, choked it, and it yielded no grain. And other seed fell on good soil, and as the plants grew and increased, they yielded a crop and produced 30, 60, and 100 times as much that had been sold. I ask you a question today. What kind of soil are you? We are let in by Jesus' teaching into the fact that there are four types of soil. But what kind of soil are you today? I like to ask you that question from this story. The wisdom of Mark chapter 4 verse 1 to 8 provides a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful illustration of the four types of Christian believers. teaching us how each responds to hearing God's word. The first type of Christian hears God's word, but Satan, represented by the birds, comes immediately, takes away the message that was sown into his or her heart. Mark 4, verse 3 to 4. Many times these people struggle to focus. They are easily distracted and often offended by something, which causes them to stumble and fall. The second type of Christian hears the word of God and receives it with joy. Because these believers are not deeply rooted in God's word, they do not act on the truth they hear. You can see that in Mark 4, verse 5 to 6. They may have a great deal of intellectual knowledge about God, or even have many scriptures memorized, but their knowledge has not become revelation in their life. When trouble comes to them, their biblical or theological knowledge does not help them. They become resentful, indignant. Sometimes they even fall away from the faith. The third type of Christian also hears God's word, but the cares of life, the distractions, the deceitfulness of riches, and the cravings for things of the world tempt them strongly and choke the word in them. They are not single-minded and passionate for the things of God, and this is their downfall. Finally, in Mark 4:8, we read that the seed sown into well-adapted soil is a seed that bears fruit. Fruit bearing is so important to Jesus. You can read John 15, extract the principles, read it again, find out where you lie in that story, and repent and start bearing fruit. This soil represents mature Christians who are the ones who hear the word, they welcome it, they receive it, accept it, and thereafter they bear fruit. To bear fruit means to do something worthwhile with the time, with the talent, and the resources that God has given you. One way to bear fruit is to do good things for other people. Fruit also refers to the fruit of the Holy Spirit, which includes joy, peace, love, patience, humility, and self-control. You can read about that in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23. These are the character traits that represent Jesus in an honorable way to the world. We are God's ambassadors on earth, and as such, we should represent him well. We all need to be growing continually in our spiritual lives, making sure our hearts are the types of soil that receive the seed of God's word eagerly, allows it to grow well, and ultimately bears fruit. I want you just to pause for a moment. Take a moment. Let's call it a Selah moment. And look at this, your life today. Are you growing in the word? Your love for the word, in the passion for the word? In the days to come, it will be the only thing. The Bible says in Isaiah 60 that the natural will never be able to sustain us. If you read that, the natural light will go dim. The things of this world will fade, and God will become the light, the resource, the source of food for us. God himself will lead us. And let's continue looking at the armor quickly. Third, we have that been given the shoes of peace. This means that we are to walk in peace and remain in peace no matter what kind of battle is raging. Satan sets us up to be upset, to be frustrated, to be fearful, to be reckless. We all become victims to this. If we stay at peace, believe in the rest of God, then his wicked plan is frustrated and he loses his power against us. God becomes the be-all and everything in our life. Amen? Amen. So I want to stop right there. Maybe next week, given a chance again, I could continue speaking about the peace of God that is connected to the Word of God. And we could look at a few other situations. Take this as a teaching and as a series and start finding some of these key things. Write them down in your handwriting. Write them down in a way that you could understand, that you could meditate upon. You could declare these things. You could proclaim these things. You could make them known to others. And well, it'll be your way of progressing towards what God wants from you and how God wants you to be shaped. Remember, God's not interested in what you do. God's interested in how you prepare yourself for Him to work through you. God bless you. Have a beautiful Sunday lunch. Take care of yourself, and shalom in Jesus' name.